He's a comedian known for big laughs, but no shortcuts.
Yeah.
If there's a shortcut, I would have taken it. But there is none. My shortcut was I moved to New York, and I do 40 shows a week.
He does multiple shows per week, multiple weeks per year, because he simply loves comedy.
This is still the grind you love.
Yeah. I don't want to call it a grind.
Comedian Godfrey, now on The Pulse, even if he didn't exactly respect my journalism skills.
I thought you were a journalist. Aren't you like a real news guy? No.
It depends on who you ask. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. We're bringing in people doing cool things, people who are using their voice, making a difference, having fun. And our guest today, you're doing all those things, right? Godfrey joins us.
What's happening?
How are
Pulse?
You, sir?
How are you?
Right?
It's the Pulse, right?
It is the Pulse.
Okay.
No, you just said that with like a Pulse. Right. That's good. I might use that as a promo.
All right.
That was good stuff.
Cool.
We were talking before we got started. I mean, obviously, you're a comedian.
Yeah.
And comedians tend to curse when they're out expressing themselves.
Not all the time.
If you want, you can. Like, we can get that out of
system. No, not every.
It might be liberating. I could do it, too.
No. We're not, like, tend to curse when they talk.
No, when they perform.
It depends. It depends on the person. There's comedians that don't curse at all.
Okay.
You know, Cosby, Sinbad, a lot of cats don't. I know guys that don't curse. All women that don't curse. It depends. It varies.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Depends. So as long as I don't take it to that level, we'd be all right.
Right on.
My guy. Tell us a little bit about, obviously, comedy, acting, all the different things, but give us a little bit of your background of how you got here.
To comedy, just after, I think it was college. I just decided to do open mics in Chicago because I went to University of Illinois, Champain. I was a pre-med psych major. And then I did Tommy Davidson came to my college, actually. And I showed him around campus. And that's why I got inspired. Him, Eddie Murphy, you know. And then I just did it on my own because I wanted to, you know. I
just gave it a shot.
Yeah, I gave it a shot because I just, in college, I felt like, oh, yeah, I think I want to do this because I love comedy so much. So I just did it. Once I got back from college, yeah, I said, I'm going to start doing open mics in Chicago. So that's how I started. Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned Tommy Davidson. He was actually the last episode before you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, he actually came to my college. Yep, yeah. Sure did.
And was telling story. Like, his story, I guess, was that somebody told him he was funny and invited him to perform at a strip club.
That's crazy.
And that was his first time performing.
Yeah, I went on my own. I kind of went on my own, sort of. Didn't tell anybody. I just went. No bets, no nothing. I just did it on my own.
So you knew coming up then that you were funny?
Well, yeah, but I wasn't trying to be a comedian when I was younger. I was just in college is when I decided, you know? Yeah, because I was into sports and science and stuff like that. So, yeah.
I always try to figure out when we're talking to comedians, because those stories are inspiring to me. Because somebody's like, I'm funny. Like, I should go do it. But you do it. Like, there's something different about somebody who thinks it and then does it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the only way. You don't know until you try. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like somebody, I guess, you join a track team because you're kind of fast. You're like, I think I'm pretty fast. I'm going to join the track team. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's kind of the same thing. So, and then you'll know until you try it. If you suck, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You got on the track team, get smoked.
You get smoked. You're like, oh, I wasn't as fast as I thought.
That probably wasn't for me.
Well, sports is a little, even though sports is a little different than sports is a little different than performing, because there's people who stink and still keep doing it in comedy. You could tell. Go watch Netflix. Well, just keep it at 100. I mean, it's true.
It's not. It's not.
I mean, Amazon. You can watch a lot. I mean, I know performers that are super, super funny. Men and women are supremely funny. And I watch. I go, what is going on? They're not, because their excuses, it's subjective. I'm like, yeah, there's subjectivity, but there's funny and then there isn't funny.
Right.
And sometimes you get people go, wow, how did they get a special? That's crazy.
Right.
I know somebody way funnier than that, you know.
It's
but sports is fun.
But you're not funny.
But sports is funny, is great, because when you're not good, they don't let you play. I think that's fair. You know, if you're not watching the Olympics, if you're not good enough, you don't medal. That's fair.
So how do we do that with comedy?
You just, I mean, you just don't pick the people that are funny, but some people do. It's just, I don't know. I don't run it. I'm not the gatekeeper. I just observe. I go, what? Really? Wow.
So you sit back sometimes, like,
I go, wow.
Like, I do it. I sit there and watch stuff and go, yeah, that's
yeah, a lot of it is funny. And I'm not saying that, like, it happens for every comedian. I'm not saying that you're funny all the time. But the good comedians are usually, their percentages of being funny are all, you know, are higher than the people that are not funny. You know, that's what I think.
Has it changed because I feel like, and obviously I'm not a comedian, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like the industry has changed because you don't have to put in the work anymore. Like you
not
don't
really.
Have to do the comedy clubs.
No, what, no, but I think it's when you see like people from Instagram, they get numbers, but you do have to put the work in. As far as comedy, you have to show up. You have to do stage time, or people are gonna come to your show. Like you can get people quicker now to come and see you, but it doesn't mean that you have the skill. You understand? Okay. That's what you can. There's people who have millions of followers that come and say, "Oh, I'm a comedian." They're not, even though they're doing sketches on a phone. But it's not the same as live performing. You still have to, live performance, you have to put the work in. You can't skip it. Technology will never help you move faster as far as live performance. It'll just bring people to you quicker. But as far as comedy, it's a skill that you have to put the hours in. It's impossible not to.
I feel like it's interesting, though, because in that way it relates to journalism or interviews or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a constant conversation that we have because there is no screening process anymore.
Like no.
Anybody who has a voice and a phone.
Or numbers.
Yeah.
Because all they care about is numbers. Everything is about numbers. This is about numbers. News is about numbers. It's all about numbers. No, it's all about revenue. No one cares about anything else. It's all about money. It's always been about money.
So is that for somebody who puts in the work?
Yeah.
Is that frustrating to someone? Like I've asked several people who had to put in the work.
Yeah,
Cedric the Entertainer was talking about putting in the work.
Yeah, yeah.
DC Curry was here
talking about DC.
How his first couple performances, he drank more than he earned. And at the end of the night, he owed them money.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. You didn't get paid and stuff like that. My thing is not about... Like I said, not about getting paid or anything. It's just work ethic. It doesn't matter whether you're a $1 billion comedian or whether you're a $100 comedian. You have to go on stage. There's nothing you can. If there's a shortcut, I would have taken it. But there is none. My shortcut was I moved to New York, and I do 40 shows a week. That's the fastest I could get good at. That's what I did.
You had 40 shows.
Yeah, me, Bill Burr, Patrice O'Neill, all of us. We're doing like 30 to 40 a week. That's how you get good. That's how you get good. That's the fastest I could go.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you still tour. Now you're doing, I hope you're not doing 30, 40 shows a week.
No.
But
you're
still touring now.
Yeah, touring is great.
That still matters to you.
Yeah. Touring, you make money touring. But that's what all musicians are doing now. It's touring. It's not the streaming. I don't know anything. I'm a music head, but as far as the business, business is terrible for musicians.
Oh, yeah.
They're streaming a cent per stream. It's, like, really horrible.
Yeah. You can have tens of millions of
Snoop
streams.
Snoop Dogg has talked about it. A lot of different artists. So they have to go on tour. That's why a lot of old school guys are doing tours again. Everybody's coming back because that's how you make money. And thank God for comedy. You know, we've always been touring. It's never... Comedy is mostly a live thing just in general. So, you know, so it's there's hundreds of comedy clubs everywhere, nationally, internationally. So, yeah, you tour live because that's what comedy is. It's a live thing. It's not going backwards. Oh, you still tour. Yeah, that's normal.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's
right. It's like a ball player. You go play live.
Still
that's
play.
How you do it. You don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same as being an athlete. You go out. You travel around. People want to see you at the different cities. That's how you do it. You know.
So when you're grinding 40 shows a week.
Yeah, yeah.
You're putting in the time. Mm-hmm. You're doing it. And if you're doing 30, 40 shows a week, obviously there is some sort of response and people are appreciating what you're doing.
Yeah.
So when for you did you feel like, okay, I've made it. I'm a professional. I'm doing this.
Made it when you can say when you first get paid, but there's levels. When you've made it, it depends. Like made it as far as getting on a TV show or
Okay. I mean, you did that.
I mean, you can do that, but you can. There's, I know comedians that never did TV, and they're multimillionaires. So, you know, there's corporate comedians. There's comedians who do the like religious circuit. They don't. You know, there's clean comedians. There's, man, you got comics that do conventions. There's cruises. So there's so many people think if you're not specific comedians that you see on TV, you're not doing well. I go, I know dudes that are multimillionaires. They don't care about TV. They don't care about the movie. They just love doing comedy. There's people who just go overseas. They do international comedy. You know, they're in the UK. I know guys that are huge in the UK now. So some guys that have moved to Australia, they're huge there. So it varies. I think you make it what your success is different than other people's, you know? People are automatically think, well, you're not in movies, so you're not successful. That's not true. There's comedians that are just writers. They just write, and they're behind the scenes. There's some that direct. You know, there's so many levels, so it depends on what's, you know, comparatively.
It's interesting because I don't think that most of us, and we get a taste of it when we sit down and talk to people who are in it.
Yeah.
I don't think most of us understand that with comedians, with musicians. Like, we've sat down with performers who were already multimillionaires because they were writing, they were producing, but you didn't know their name till they did a song.
Right.
I think Neo, you know, is somebody who was already a huge success.
Always writing. He was writing, like Missy Elliott was writing songs before she got big. So, yeah. So there's so many different, but people say if you're not the immediate super famous person, they go, oh, he or she can't be doing well. Not true. There's college circuits. People do college circuits, make lots of money doing college circuits. So I think that your success is not by what other people think, is what, hey, man, I'm doing professional shows now. Oh, I'm a headliner now. There's different levels to success because it's not easy to be a headliner. Not everybody gets to go around to different comedy clubs, you know. And some people are middle acts, and they're like, oh, I get to open up for these people. So there's different levels of success, you know. I think when you're making a living without doing a regular job, I think that's a successful comedian. That's what I think. Yeah.
What's up with comedy and comedians almost going down the rap battle route? Like, I remember when we first started interviewing comedians here, I talked to a lot of people, some of the people on the wall, the OGs, were like, listen, this is it's a group. We've got each other's back. We want to pull other people along. At least that's what they said.
Right.
Then the Cat Williams and the Club Shay Shay stuff goes out there, and that blows up.
Yeah.
And then it almost feels like there's this comedian battle thing that has become the norm now.
It's just a few people. That's most comedians go about their business, I think. Cat Williams just kind of, you know, blew up. You know, no one expected him to do that, and that became the highest interview in YouTube history. I don't think every comedian's not battling. That's not true. Most comedians are minding their business, doing whatever. But I think amongst African American, we tend to blab our business out a little too much. You don't really hear any non-black comedians talk having battles. You know, it's just we're just more vocal about stuff. Like, you saw, this person ain't funny, this person can't read. I mean, it's just, I think it's just one of those incidents. But most of the times, everybody's going about their business. Nobody's really talking, you know what I mean? But that's just,
it's more exposed.
Yeah, it's not as bad as people think, you know.
Okay. Good. That's actually good.
Yeah, because good to hear. There's no really comedy battles. There might be, you're not making a record, a diss record, or you're going about your business. Let me just go about my, because most, even with Cat Williams said what he said about Earthquake, what he said about, they still went about their business. They're like, you know what, he said whatever, blah, blah, blah. Cedric went about his business, Earthquake going about their business, you know.
Right. So, I'm still on tour. You can catch me.
It's not affecting me. It actually helps me, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are on tour.
Yes.
You're here in Philly and at pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, man, everywhere.
This is still, we touched on it just a little bit, this is still the grind you love.
Yeah. And I don't want to call it a grind per se, because I'm doing well, you know. No, I am. I've earned it. Like, 25 plus years. Exactly. If I was grinding, it'd be like, oh, I can't get booked, but I'm booked through the whole year.
So this is the path you still love.
Yeah, of course. That's what you do as a comedian. That's like normal. You know what I mean? That's a normal, but you know, you want to be able to do, there's other things you want to be able to do. But the business is a little different now. It's social media based, you know, and I know guys that are from my era that are a little stubborn when it comes to that. You don't feel like doing this or feel like doing that, but it's the way of the world, you know.
Okay.
It is the way to stay relevant. And it's kind of cool, too, because, you know, there are more phones than people, you know. And so everybody's always on their phone constantly. Everybody's not watching a TV show. People are usually on their phone. You make a little video that could go viral. People say, oh, I was just watching you on my phone the other day. So yeah. I think it gives a lot of people more of a chance to kind of establish their own audience, which I think is kind of cool. If you embrace it, you go, wow, I didn't know how powerful this is. This is amazing. You go to different countries, people go, I watch your videos all the time. You're like, wow. You know, so
I was doing a search before we came in, looking at your shows going forward. Mm-hmm. And next to pretty much all of them, it says limited tickets available.
Oh, well, that's
so
good.
That's a good thing.
That's great,
right?
Yeah.
So things are continuing to sell. So we're encouraging people, regardless of where they're coming to see you.
Yeah.
You probably want to pick up that phone he was just talking about and get your
tickets
now.
Yes. Right?
Because they may not be there tomorrow.
Yeah, it's worth it. I'm worth it, man. I'm telling you. I am. Unless you don't like my style of comedy, don't come. But other than that, I'm worth it. So
what are we going to see? Come check out your
it
show.
It varies. I don't always do the same stuff. It varies on how I feel. I just know it's going to be funny, and it's going to be what I feel like talking about, period. I never go, I'm going to talk about this. Nah, never do that.
Just what moves you.
Yeah. So it's worth it. Unless you just don't like my style, which is totally fine. When people say, oh, I don't like you, I go, that's fine. You're not supposed to like everything. No, everybody's not supposed to like you. It's comedy. So some people are mad because you talk about a certain subject. People are upset. Like, why did you talk about that? They're just mad because you about the subject. They're not going to hear you, how you constructed the joke. They're just mad that you talked about the subject. That's the society now. Why did you talk about the race thing? I say, because it's not over. You're still racist.
Right.
So,
and I'm still black.
You're still racist. It's not me being black. It's great being black because we were here first. I'm saying it's just nice. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you're talking about race. I go, well, it keeps happening. So that's what I'm talking. Now, I would love to go on stage and I talk about race and people say, hey, you know, we're not racist anymore. That's an old joke. Oh, wow.
Cool.
But it's
right.
So fresh. No one goes, hey, it's not dated. It's still new.
So we're
hating
still
people.
Why?
But hating people because they look different than you is still around. That's thousands of years old. And it's still, and they tell us we got to move on. And you're still hating people because they look different than you. You're the only one that haven't moved on. Right. Everybody else that looks different is moving on, except the people that are mad that you look different than them. And then those same people say, why is it always about race? I go, no, you tell me. You tell me. How come you can't live in a society? You can't act. You just be normal. Just treat people. That's it. But right. You have a problem with people looking different than you still. Just the way your behavior is.
Punchline, Philly.
Just the way your behavior is. Just the way the rudeness you have. You're mad because someone looks different to you. That's crazy.
You know, you haven't. And looking back into your background, this has never been a challenge for you. But you don't mind taking on those issues.
Yeah.
I look at your social media. And stupid stuff that happens in the world, criticizing Simone Biles, like some of the things that are going on. You have no problem stepping up and using that platform.
I don't. It's not. I'm not like.
You're having fun with it, but it's commentary.
My thing is, I'm not doing anything new. Paul Mooney did it. Joan Rivers did it. Don Rickles did it. Richard Pryor did it. So many people did it way before me. So it's not like some new. Oh my God! This is like normal. To talk about it. It's just, you do it in a way, that's what comedy is there for. That's what I think. It's there to let people know what's going on in society. George Carlin, all my favorites did it. And then you let people know what's the ills of society. I think that's what comedy is. It's about what's not good. And you make fun of, you know what I mean? You make art out of it. So that's how I feel. So
you also host a podcast.
Yeah, and Godfrey, we trust. Gas Digital Network.
Yes. You enjoy doing that?
Oh, I love it. It's for comedians, it's great because it's free speech. It's better than XM. You know, like the Joe Rogan, what he's done with podcasting. Rogan, Tom Segura, Club Shay Shay. Club Shay Shay. You got even Charlemagne the God, his podcast, and Joe Budden. So it's freedom of speech. That's all we want is freedom of speech. Being able to say what you want, express yourself. And if you don't like the podcast, you can go listen to another one. It's beautiful. All it is about freedom. You know?
Does it also feel good then? Because some of the people you mentioned, they do these things. They take on these issues. They're having fun. They're allowed to be themselves and the freedom you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's also experiencing tremendous success.
Yeah.
So that kind of also has to, when you look at, and I look at some of your numbers, when you look at the numbers and go, okay. Like people are really embracing that.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this myself.
Yeah.
That's got to feel good.
Podcasting is not easy, I don't think. It's like I've been doing almost 5 years, over 500 something episodes, but it's every week to week to think, you know, to make things interesting. It's not, I don't think it's that easy because everybody has a podcast now. Like a lot of people that shouldn't be doing podcasts, and I'm not saying I'm the greatest, but a lot of people that shouldn't be doing podcasts are doing podcasts. And I blame Amazon for letting people order microphones. As soon as they got to order a microphone, they're podcaster now. I was like, oh, God.
I'm feeling attacked because I ordered these
why are
you
feeling?
Amazon.
I thought you were a journalist. No, why? I didn't, I'm not talking about you. Aren't you like a real news guy? No.
It depends on who you ask.
Really?
Like, yeah,
You're not a news guy?
I have a news guy job, too.
That's what I'm saying.
But I just ordered these
off that's
Amazon.
But that's not the same thing. You're a journalist. You're in the game. I'm talking about people that have nothing to do with it. They just feel, you look at some of them, and you know what they've been doing? They've been doing fake podcasts now.
Okay.
Where they'll just have the mics and they'll say, and this is just an example, like the top 10 things you da 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 da. And it'll just be excerpts of them looking like they're in a podcast, and that's their podcast. it's just clips from them going back and forth, and that's right. It. They go, where's the whole podcast? You can't find it because it's just clipped up. That's what they do now. Yeah, it's
crazy.
Yeah, they kind of cheat a little bit, but yeah.
It's crazy.
But that's So I'm just talking.
Hey, look,
just talking smack. Yeah.
All right, so you're on tour.
Yes,
bunch of movies. What's next? Continuing the tour.
Continuing to do that. Podcast. You know that. Getting to film work, you know, would be nice. Just constantly. I do animation stuff. I do animation, voiceover for different stuff, too. That's been going pretty good. So, yeah, just continuous good work, man. And to perform on stage in a proficient way is great. Like, you look forward to that. It's amazing. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yeah.
We end every discussion. Mm-hmm. The theme of the show is how you can use your voice for good.
Okay.
When you hear the phrase, use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
Doing what I do on stage, because I address a lot of things that people can't talk about at their jobs. You know, you speak for the voiceless. People in corporate America, they don't get to really say what they want to say. You know, and then they come to my shows, they go, man, I'm so happy you said that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing when he goes, oh, I'm so happy you said that. So that's the thing, you know. Every show I can say whatever I want, you know, when I want, how I want. Oh, you're either going to be mad or go, wow, that was really good. That's it. That's, you know, there's no HR in comedy. There's none. There's no good.
It's valid.
You know what I mean? It's like listen, you do whatever you want in comedy.
Some of the
within the parameters of the creativity. I don't like when comedians do, they just say something really foul just because and they hide behind it. But there was nothing funny to that.
Right.
Like there's got to be some kind of intelligence, some kind of, you know what I mean? It's okay. Sometimes you do a dangerous joke. I go, I understand it. I know what it's like, but find the comedy in it. Find the creativity. So even a person that hates what you said go, that was good though. That was good.
Right.
That's the challenge to me. So people who don't do that make comedy look like you're just up there effing around. And you want to make it look like, oh, that is a real art. Because it is a real art. It's the hardest art form in all of entertainment. Ain't nothing harder than stand-up comedy. Nothing. You could tell me, and I will not agree with you. Stand-up wins as the most difficult.
Actually, and I was done, but you just hit on something. I'm going to ask that last question.
Yeah.
The art of this,
yes.
the importance of comedy, the yes. significance of comedy, that all matters to you.
Yeah, like
you're
man.
Holding I'm up that
purist.
Art form.
Yeah, I'm a purist about it because I put the work in and I'm always around great comedians, like till this day. You know, I'm around great comics, man, that men and women that put up the work and really work on their jokes, and you see the improvement every week. We're all amongst each other working on our stuff. You know, it's no, like I said, you see, like, let's go by the Olympics. You see the work that is put in, the work that is put in to the Simone Bileses, to the Ledecky swimming. They put the work in. There ain't no cheating. And that's why you see the performances that you see. There is a difference between real comedians. You'll see, you might see a comedian, oh, well, they're from Instagram. That's fine. I don't hold the gate to comedy. But when you see a guy like myself or people who really put the work, you'll see the difference. You'll go, oh, wow. There's a difference between LeBron James and a dude in the street that doesn't put his work in. It's a difference. LeBron puts the work in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys, that's they eat, sleep, and drink. It's their lifestyle. Comedy is a lifestyle to me. It's not a hobby. That's the hobby. People, I've had guys go, hey, man, I've worked with dudes that were like, yeah, I do comedy as a hobby. I said, I could tell. I could tell. You was trash. You were trash. I decimated you. After you got off, they forgot about you because you don't put the work in. You cannot cheat comedy. I'm telling you, as a funny dude that had to go up on stage and put the work in, being around the best, I've known Seinfeld for a long time, done shows with Seinfeld, with Chris Rock, with Damon, I've done it with everybody, you know, with Robin Williams. We have same birthday. I've used to do shows with Robin Williams, Ray Romano. I've been around the best of the best. David Tell, who to me is one of the greatest comedic minds. I'm around him almost every night in New York City. It's like, I'm around the best. There's, period, you know. I started at Bernie Mac's club in Chicago. Why, I know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean?
Man, I respect the grind. I respect the hustle.
I respect what you're doing. It's the art
I
form. I'm saying,
it.
I'm just telling you, and I can prove it. Because pound for pound, I'm the real deal. Period.
He's got plenty of chances to prove
yes.
it. Get tickets to
That's
the show.
Right.
You're going to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I appreciate you taking time out.
I will not disappoint.
Out. This is fun, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate you for spending the time with us.
I know.
Check it out. Get your tickets. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with comedian and actor Godfrey. And he was sharing some pretty cool stories. I often say that it is a very interesting and informative aspect of this show that you get to sit down and talk to people at length and hear the stories that inspire them, the things that move them, change them, entertain them in this long form because they get a chance to just kind of flesh it out without just sound bites. I enjoyed him. I think that he is obviously funny, but also significant and impactful. And I hope you enjoyed the discussion as well. He's on tour, so go ahead and search because you can find him in your city pretty soon, I am sure. But tickets go fast, so make sure you grab them. Do me a favor and hit the like, follow, subscribe button, whatever it is that appears on your screen so that you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. And you can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that all of our episodes are right there at your fingertips on demand on the Fox Local app. Download the app. You can see all of the guests that we've had on the show. And it's like 100+ shows. So there are some pretty cool guests. Godfrey mentioned Tommy Davidson, who was just on with us. So more and more, we're kind of establishing our own friends of the Pulse. We're friends of each other. You're our friend. We're just a friendly atmosphere. And that seems like the perfect time to remind you that whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.